Let us hear the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 to 28. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work that they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in this passage today, we are on this journey with Paul and Barnabas, who are on their, what we call their first of three missionary journeys, for Paul at least. And along with Barnabas, they have been traveling through an area which is today modern Turkey, back then known as Asia Minor. And earlier in Acts 13, we learn of this, the beginning of this missionary journey, when the church at Antioch came around Paul and commissioned him, laid hands on him, fasted and prayed over him, and then sent him off on this first missionary journey. So this is where we are with Paul at the start of our passage. And we learned already, just by reading this together, what is going on. And then we're going to take a more look at that. So Paul and Barnabas, they've been away from their home church in Antioch for perhaps 2 years at this point. Much has been accomplished for the glory of God. And that's so key, for the glory of God. God is doing a great work through Paul and Barnabas throughout this land. Now, our passage begins in verse 21, and it starts by telling us that they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. So first of all, the city that Luke, who is the author of Acts, is referring to is a city called Derbe. And this is like the 10th community Paul and Barnabas visited. And so while they are there, we learn what they did. And it's very clear what they did. It was a priority wherever they went that they would preach the good news of the gospel. They would tell people where people were gathered, there is hope. The Messiah has come. His name is Jesus, and he came to save. And so they would preach the gospel. This was their first priority, evangelism. Now, you don't have a church, again, if you don't have Christians. And you don't have Christians if you don't preach the gospel, if you don't evangelize. And in this case, this is true even today, wherever the church is not. It begins by the preaching, the proclamation of the gospel. Now, it's been said that you can tell a lot about a person's priorities by looking at two things. And what do you think those two things are? Their calendar and their checkbook. Perhaps you've heard that before. Maybe not. So that's how you can tell a lot about a person's priorities. What means the most to them? Now, where a person spends his time and money speaks to the things that are most important in his or her life. And that's, again, not to say any of us are perfect. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, what are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with your time and your energy and your passions? I want you to think about what's become a priority in your life or what matters to you. When you come to the end of your life, which again is inevitable for all of us, how is it that your life will be summarized? What will people say about you? What is the legacy that you're leaving behind as a follower of Jesus Christ? What priorities will people remember about your life? Now, if you've ever studied Paul or read the Bible enough, you know what the priority for Paul was. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever he went, of all the things that could be said about the Apostle Paul, what ought to come overwhelmingly to the top of that list for Paul is the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that was his life. That was his calling. Because the good news of Jesus has the power to save. And it's urgent that we proclaim it and preach it and share it with our neighbors and with our community. And it's because it's urgent, it was Paul's priority. And because it was Paul's priority, it should be ours as well as followers of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we learned in verse 21. They preached the good news. Luke just goes right to what they did, and this is what they did in every community that the Holy Spirit led them. Now, I also want to mention that there are plenty of good things that the church is doing and can be involved in, but only one which we must be doing. And again, that's evangelism with a view to disciple-making, preaching the gospel. And this is Jesus' command to every believer. There is no doubt, again, that working together to make this world a better place, or caring for the environment, helping the poor, being kind to one another, these are all very important, but that is not what it means to be evangelical. An evangelical family, an evangelical Christian, an evangelical church. So Christians, the Christian church, must be grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They must be able to proclaim it and must have a proven passion to do so. At the end of verse 21, as that verse carries on, it tells us, Paul and Barnabas then returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. And in verse 22, it tells us why they did that, why they chose that route home. So again, look with me in your Bible at this text and what Luke is telling us Paul and Barnabas are doing. So at the start of verse 21, we see the priority of the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. And then they return to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And verse 22, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. And I'll stop right there. Focus with me on verse 22 in your Bibles. Now, what we learn is instead of returning directly home, a direct flight back from wherever they were, Derbe to Antioch, they instead retrace their steps back through the communities that they had previously visited. They're going back to encourage the new followers of Christ. They're going back to those little church plants, those small groups that they started, to then encourage and strengthen. You see, another crucial part of the mission of Paul and Barnabas was discipleship. So definitely in Acts 14, all through Acts really, we see the important themes of evangelism and discipleship, and that we have them as part of our ministry as well, let alone our personal lives. So they acted upon Jesus' command in verse 28, and that's why Paul and Barnabas are such a great example for us, because they themselves put into practice what Jesus commands us to do as well in Matthew 28. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So Paul and Barnabas, what are they doing? First of all, they are disciples themselves, and now they are disciples making disciples. They weren't just seeing how many people would come forward at an altar call and then leave town. They were out to make disciples, lifelong disciples. And of course, if you've ever been part of that, if you're doing that now, you know that that takes time and commitment. They did this by spending time with these new believers. What did they do in this time? Luke doesn't tell us exactly all the details of what we're going to, once we're in heaven, we'll be able to ask Paul and Barnabas, what exactly did you do when you went back to all these towns? But what we can know what they did was they taught them the word of God. They taught them how to serve one another. They taught them how to pray, how to overcome struggles by trusting in God. By their example, Paul and Barnabas modeled for these new believers and for us today how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest definitions of discipleship is found in Matthew 16, 24 to 25. Let me read it for you. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul?" Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is about laying down your life and following him. It's about there being a whole lot less of you and a whole lot more of him. And that is what it means to follow Jesus until our time is up. It's not about making your life more pleasant and solving all your own problems. It's about taking up a cross and following Jesus. Now, instead of taking a direct route home with no interruptions to get home as quickly as possible, Paul and Barnabas retrace their steps. They make this plan, led by the Holy Spirit, to pass back through all these places that they've been and to see the new believers, to visit with them, to have this type of time with them, to encourage them and strengthen them, to teach them, to equip them, to teach them how to live and love like Jesus. Now, in verse 22, we learn what they did as they visited these new churches. In verse 22, again, what does it say? It says that they went through these towns strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. This is what they did, strengthen the disciples. Paul and Barnabas were interested in teaching about Jesus, but also making many disciples, helping people not only make a decision to follow Jesus, but to give their lives to living the life of Jesus, the life that God has called us to live in his steps. Now, the word strengthen means to establish or to fortify. It means to render more firm, to make stable and strengthen. So just think a little bit more on what that word fortify means. What does it mean to fortify something? It means to protect or strengthen against attack, to surround or provide with defensive military works, or to furnish with a means of resisting force or standing strain or wear. How do you fortify something? Well, you build it up. You add more support. You fill in cracks and tear up the old material. What are some things being fortified in Campbellford right now? Yeah, the bridge, yeah. That's been a big project just started recently. They're fortifying the bridge so that it lasts a little bit longer for us to drive on. They are working on the stonework at the Catholic Church so that those walls will last longer. Lots of things are being fortified in Campbellford as we speak. So I want you to apply that now to your spiritual life. Your walk with the Lord, fortifying it. How are you doing when it comes to fortifying your faith? And what are some things that are happening right now that are helping keep your faith strong, helping to equip you, protect you from the attacks of the enemy? Well, there's a number of things that we can continue to do that will help fortify each other in our faith. Well, meeting together for prayer and support and accountability, Bible teaching and Bible study, worship and communion, fellowship and fasting. I'm sure you could think of more things that we can be doing to fortify our faith. Every Christian needs strengthening in their faith, in their hearts and in their souls. Because it is no small thing to walk with the Lord year after year, trial after trial. It takes strength and it takes encouragement. One thing that we all have in common in this room today is the need to be encouraged. Isn't that so true? Each one of us, every single week, needs encouragement. Because what encouragement does is that it helps us to overcome difficulties. Encouragement reminds us that we're not alone. Encouragement helps us to take courage and to have hope. Encouragement keeps us focused on Jesus, not our problems, not this world. For we need encouragement because Satan never stops his attacks against Christians and the church. So in verse 22, we learn that this is what they're doing. They're strengthening these churches, these however many small groups that they would be traveling through. Paul and Barnabas, they're encouraging them, and they're encouraging them with these words, remain true to the faith, because there will be hardships along this road to heaven. There will be opposition to the message the Lord Jesus has given you, that he has given us. In fact, one of the towns that Paul and Barnabas were returning to was a town where they had stoned him even and left him out in the outside of the city gates to be dead. Yet Paul goes back to where that small group of believers were because how important it was to encourage these young believers. So we need to heed the warning here. Continuing in the faith is not guaranteed. There are hardships. There are distractions. Paul is warning believers that they may shrink back from openly following Christ when hardship comes. And based on his own experience, Paul knew exactly why the disciples needed to be strengthened and encouraged to remain true to the faith. As Paul said to the new Christians already in verse 22, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And Paul wasn't kidding. His life and just his recent life on this missionary journey is a testimony of what he has already endured for Christ. So do you see why Paul strengthened the disciples and encouraged them to remain true to the faith? Paul knew what was awaiting them. Paul knew that what Christ experienced and what he experienced is also what these new converts in all these communities, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, would experience. Paul knew that they would be persecuted and mistreated and hated. For Jesus told his disciples, remember, when the world hates you, that it hated me first. It hated me without cause. With this message, Paul is preparing them and he's warning them of the life ahead. And the idea is that we are going to go through hard times, but we need to keep pressing on. We need to persevere and we need to be together to encourage each other. Now think about those words that Luke tells us that Paul said, that they were to remain true to the faith. Think about those five words. Remain true to the faith. Again, Paul knew that Satan and the world around us would try to pull believers away from their faith, to conform the church to its worldly pattern. Romans 12, verse 2, Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And from this encouragement and from this warning, we learn of two choices that we have in this life, that you'll either be conformed or you'll be transformed. There are people in the church today who can't figure out what God wants them to do with their lives because they're being conformed to the pattern of this world, not God's will. They're more interested in being like everyone else, being accepted, not standing away over there with a word that perhaps could be offensive. But as long as you're worried about conforming, again, you won't worry about God transforming you at all, because your heart's focus is on that pattern, not the pattern of God's perfect, pleasing, and holy will. Again, they're more interested in being like everyone else. And in that case, when that's what your focus is, you won't know the will of God. Again, in Romans 12, verse 2, Paul says that the mind renewed by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit and God's word is one that seeks to do the holy, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. Why? For there's no other reason than that it is holy, well-pleasing, and the perfect will of God. So the Christian should need no other reason. If it pleases our Lord, if it's a reflection of God's word, then it should please us to do it regardless of self or what the world is trying to pull us away to do. Now, there are those who find the world and the ways of the world to be very attractive. That's very true. The world has no problems with a number of items. The world has no problems with adultery and addiction and divorce and the pursuit of pleasure. The way of the world is anger and hatred, sexual immorality, discord, rage, dissensions, factions, and envy. In the face of the world's attractions and the world's ways, then Paul strengthens and encourages the early Christians to do what? Remain true to the faith. What a message for the church today, isn't it? For us as well. Remain true to Jesus. Remain true to God's word, despite all that's going on in our world today. The circumstances that we are trying to navigate for the first time. Paul and Barnabas were committed to not just making new Christians, but also in establishing new churches. Strong disciples, strong churches. Places where these Christians could grow and be established in the Lord. And we learn of one practical way in which they strengthened the church. They appointed some to be leaders. Look at verse 23. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. So in verse 23, we learn of one practical way in which they were encouraging and strengthening the church. They were appointing leaders. And they did so, if you noticed, in each church. They didn't say, here's a church with the leader, now you lead. All these other churches, each of these little small groups had a leader. Paul didn't stay to control the church. That's an important point as well. He didn't want to have this oversight and this leadership all to himself. He appointed elders to oversee the church. He committed new leaders. And you have to realize that some of these elders can't be more than 6 months old in their Christian walk. They're still pretty young in the faith. Yet Paul and Barnabas spend time teaching them, praying with them, encouraging them, and preparing them for leadership. Paul and Barnabas appoint leaders to lead the church in the ways of the Lord. It's an important reminder to us as well what churches need. These elders would ensure that the church functioned as they should in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when it came to selecting and committing these leaders to leadership, we learn of three things that accompanied, three practices that they did to do this: prayer, fasting, and the laying on of hands. And so these three practices recognize two things. First of all, they leaned upon the presence of the Holy Spirit for the work of the church. Jesus is building his church, praise God. And I believe Paul and Barnabas knew that. They leaned upon one another also in serving and loving the Lord who called them into the church. And there we learn, again, the important theme, how important it is that Christianity must be lived in fellowship. Now, they're strengthening the church. They're doing it by raising up leaders. But then once we get to verse 26, we come to this sense of closure. Because in verse 24 to 25, they're making their way gradually back to Antioch, their home church. And on the way, they're still preaching the word, as we saw in verse 21. But let me read you what happens in verse 26. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God. And that was back in Acts 13, for the work that they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together, reported all that God had done through them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So again, once we get to verse 26, there's this great sense of closure. They finally returned to where they had been committed to God's grace for the work that was now completed. And what does Luke tell us they do when they arrive? Well, they gathered the church together and they told everything God had done. It was like reporting, giving an account of what God had done over those months and years on their first missionary journey. I can imagine that this must have been a very wonderful meeting, full of joy and praise to God, as Paul and Barnabas recounted the great works that God did. God had done immeasurably more than they could have ever imagined. The emphasis of their recounting also wasn't on what they had done for God, but on what God had done for them and with them, right in their midst. They had been entrusted to God's grace, and God had come through for them and had done marvelous work in changing lives and healing people. In their report of the work they did, they said also that God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. For God had given an opportunity to Paul and Barnabas to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles and those that they preached to in these communities had had the opportunity of hearing the gospel and receiving it. Now, there is no entering into the kingdom of God but by the door of faith. Jesus saves. And God had softened the hearts of many to accept the invitation to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation. And so as we come to the close of this first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, we have been given an example in their lives of moving forward with Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel, staying true to God's word. We also have learned the importance of encouraging each other and strengthening each other. So let us continue to pray for God to, first of all, draw all people unto himself, because that is God's work. The Holy Spirit is saving people, and let us be willing and open to proclaim the gospel where people are there to hear. Let's keep our eyes open for opportunities to share the gospel, for you never know who God has sent to you so that they can know him through you, through your life, through you preaching to them the gospel of Jesus Christ and explain to them how God has changed your life. In this passage, we see in Paul and Barnabas the encouragement to keep moving forward for Jesus Christ. So I encourage you today, as we close, follow in Jesus' footsteps. Let us continue to strengthen each other through God's word and through fellowship and through prayer.